Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start of the week, or at least a wonderful Tuesday. The weather's okay today. It seems like the rain has gone down, but it is kind of chilly, so I hope you guys are staying warm. It is week 11, I believe. Week 11 or week 10, maybe. Somewhere along the lines of that. We have just a couple more weeks left until the end of the semester, so I hope you guys are wrapping it up in a good, positive note. I know that finals are coming up, essays are coming in, all that sort of stuff. It's a very, very busy time of the year. And on top of that, we have, you know, Christmas. I'm sure that there are a lot of family gathering plannings that are taking place, or maybe travel plans for you guys. But although there are a lot of exciting events that are waiting for us at the end of the year, I hope that everyone is still able to get their work done successfully before we not only wrap up the semester, but the entire year of 2024. I can't believe it's almost over. But yeah, I hope you guys are doing well so far. Shindig is still going on, so please go check that out. It's happening at Redgate Art Society. There's going to be a show tonight, actually. So please go ahead and check out the songs. Have some fun, meet some new people. If you want to get more, interactive with the CITR and Discord community, I'm sure that there's going to be some executives and staff members present at the event tonight. So please go check it out if you have the time. I believe the finale round is going to be on the first week of December. So there's still a couple more weeks to check that out as well. For today's episode, I will actually be talking about genre, more specifically about romance and comedy. For those of you who have been following my shows, I initially started it to do rom-com movie reviews. And so I want to dive a little deeper into what I think about romance and comedy as a genre, why I enjoy it, and what possible benefits that it can have with the way that the movie progresses or the plot line, even the characters as well. After that, I will be putting on some songs by the band that I put up last week, which is the Prairie Joggers. So please stay tuned for some wonderful music at the end. And obviously, I will be ending off with a very interesting fun fact segment, trying to come up with some new ones or find some new ones for you all to wrap up my episode on a very interesting but fun note. So that's kind of the overview of today's show. I'm just going to put out some ads and some PSAs, and we will get right to the episode. I will see you all in a couple minutes. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Skakuya, Talit, Sin, Hom Musqueam, Mustayo. Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you. This time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
ZZ Theatre presents the Rainbow Youth Project, produced by Yanting Chu and curated by Brittany O'Rourke, Alan Pronger, and Bria Chance. This annual community storytelling project centers the 2S LGBTQ plus voices who often don't get a say in their lives, bodies, and identities. Bringing two-spirit, queer, and trans youth from across Metro Vancouver to share their stories. The Rainbow Storytelling Project is a low-barrier, one-on-one project in which people share true stories from their lives. It is designed to challenge stereotypes and preconceived notions of otherness, promote dialogue, reduce prejudices, and encourage understanding by connecting people who, under normal circumstances, might never meet. The Rainbow Youth Project will be running on dates November 16th, 17th, the 23rd, and 24th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Vancouver Public Library Central Branch on the third floor. This is a free event with no sign-up required. All that is necessary is your attendance and your empathy. The leaves are browning, and I'm pissed! Does anybody relate to this? Oh my god, you're right, Angels! I gotta read some Discorder magazine.
Really, no one can be blamed but myself for holding out hope that this world could only contain a certain amount of cruelty.
God damn!
Were I to make a choice again, I would spend a week collecting all the broken glass
and rusty shards I can from across the city and form a nest with which I will lay myself to my grave? Oh my god, I've never felt so seen! Thank you, Discorder Magazine.
Finally, someone understands!
And for the rest of you in the Lower Mainland, find voices that you connect to in this issue of Discorder. You can find all of the distribution locations by visiting citr.ca/discorder/subscribe/.
What do you love, and what do you love about it? My name is Ewan, and with I Love Yower, I want to know. Come join me bi-weekly Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to discuss music and the stories we connect to it, either in person, on the phone, or through messages at I Love You Hour on Instagram. That's ILUVUHour on Instagram, or through email at ILUVHour@gmail.com. If you love sharing music and telling stories, listen to I Love You Hour bi-weekly at CITR 101.9. And remember, I love you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful afternoon. It is currently 2:11 p.m. here in Vancouver, BC. I'm broadcasting from the UBC student radio station, CITR, and Discorder. So I hope you guys are excited for today's discussion on the genre of romance and comedy. As I mentioned, for those of you who have been joining my episodes for some time, or even last week, I do movie reviews and some interviews here and there, and I also share my own literature works as well. Last week, I actually had a wonderful guest on, and we discussed the movie Twilight, and I know it's not really considered a comedy genre, but it seems to me, you know, there are definitely some comedy elements. And I feel like a lot of movies, if not all of them, have some sort of comedy in them. And I think that's very important to kind of have that humor within movies. And so why don't we kind of get into what aspects of the genre of comedy or romantic comedies in particular do for me, what I kind of think about it, and how that benefits the way that the movie progresses or what the movie is trying to convey, whether it's a message or some other underlying hidden meaning. This can apply to the characters or the overall plot. Even the way that the scenes are constructed can have some sort of subtextual meaning behind it. And I think genre does have some sort of influence when it comes to explaining those. And so if I begin, I think that the romantic comedy genre does a great job in challenging and portraying, traditional storytelling norms, and offers a very diverse perspective on the way that characters interact with each other, whether it's through romance or love, even friendship as well. So I think in that sense, it does a very good job in trying to explain, to the people who's watching it, what romance does for the characters and, how they kind of evolve throughout the movie. I also think that romantic comedy is a very relevant topic. I feel like horror is exciting. Thriller also is very exciting. But I feel like there is, for me at least, in my experience, there's more of a humor, comedy-based experience that I go through more often. So kind of creating that relevancy while you're watching a movie is always great. I also think that humor in rom-coms plays a very, very crucial role in explaining and describing what sort of characteristics a character has, whether it's their response to strong emotions, whether it's like fear, love or anger or frustration, shyness even. And I think comedy kind of plays into the complexity of how a character approaches and reacts to those situations. And so through that, we can kind of get a more in-depth idea of a certain character and understand why they behave a certain way throughout the movie's progression. And so in that way, I think comedy does a great job in that as well. I also feel like just because it's a romantic comedy genre, it doesn't always deal with low stakes, I'd say, or even light topics. It always has to have this humoristic aspect to it that makes the overall message lighter. I feel like romantic comedies does a great job in using the genre to convey tough topics, whether it's, a breakup or, the complex relationships, whether it's, their intimate love relationships or even friendships. And through that, comedy kind of pillows the overall impact of it. And even if it does pillow it, it doesn't quite do it in a way where it undermines the intensity and the severity of the overall concept of what the movie is going by. And so it does a really good job in balancing out the overall tone of the movie and making it in a way that flows more coherently within the plot line. So again, I think I want to touch more on the emotional complexity of how romance and this like state of attraction really ties into this within characters in particular. And I think through this, we can kind of understand the character, get more familiar with them, what they do, why they do certain things. And through that, we can kind of base that off with that character in particular and use that as a foundation to really compare them at the end if they do end up going through a character developing phase. And I think that kind of makes it more interesting when you finish the movie. I don't know if there are any movies where character development is not present in a movie. I think most characters in movies, whether they are an antagonist or a heroic person or even like a neutral character, does go through some sort of change. And I think through these genres of comedy and romance, you almost need to pay more attention and more close attention to the details of the way that the character exchanges dialogue, the way the words that they use, and through that you can kind of understand how they change. Because Obviously, there's a lot of characters where, you know, they say a certain dialogue, but then you see their facial expressions or even, you know, the way that they say their phrase. You can kind of tell whether it's serious or if it's sarcasm or if it's like a joke. And then through that, you can kind of understand the dynamic of that character with certain characters within, you know, the movie itself. And so that understanding just goes into more depth and more accurate as well, because I feel like if you don't quite understand a character in their subtextual nature, then you can't really engage with them on a deeper, authentic level. And so in order to do that, I think comedy and romance does a great job in easing your way into what that character is like. And kind of you can, again, base that off as a foundation to compare and contrast with their progressive changes throughout the movie. But this is more so to the context of movies in general, and so it happens very, very fast within the span of an hour and a half to maybe two hours, I'd say. I don't think I see a lot of movies that are actually 2.5 hours, and I don't see a lot of movies that are that long. But yeah, 2 hours to an hour and a half is kind of the span where you kind of have to catch all these characteristics, which is why I actually rewatch movies. And we're kind of digressing here, but I think this is a very important topic to talk about as well, is the aspect of rewatching the movie that you've already watched. And I think I notice this all the time when I do rewatch movies, is for me, as I mentioned in my previous episodes, I enjoy rewatching movies for the sake of almost going back to that feeling of nostalgia. There are movies that I watch and it kind of brings me back to the time and place when I watched that movie for the first time. I can kind of remember what I felt in certain scenes, whether it's, you know, that butterfly in your stomach in certain romantic scenes, or whether it's that anger when you find out your character is being manipulated, or some sort of scene like that. And so through those scenes, when I rewatch movies, I like to kind of remember what sort of emotions kind of I felt. And through that, I think rewatching movies are a great way to kind of reflect back on what you thought about the movie initially. Because I notice myself catching on the dialogue a bit more deeper, you know, the depth of the meaning behind the dialogue, mostly behind the dialogue. And then I start comparing that with, you know, certain mundane gestures and actions that the character does throughout the movie that I didn't quite understand or catch even in my first watch. And so through that, it gives a more in-depth understanding of the characters and how they kind of move along within the movie. And so I do encourage people to rewatch movies that they've already watched, especially if they enjoyed the movie, because I think the more you enjoy a movie, you kind of need to dig deeper into the movie itself, what you enjoyed about it, and really question those moments that made that movie so intriguing and interesting for you. And then through that, when you do find something, it's really a great, great feeling, because now you can kind of consider yourself almost a bigger fan of the movie because of how in-depth you went into. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit about, you know, rewatching movies. I think the most amount of times I've actually rewatched a movie was probably around 20 to 30 times. I usually rewatch the movie in bits. So I move to certain scenes, or I kind of watch a certain chunk of a scene and then move along to the next. Or sometimes I just kind of leave it on, and, you know, while I watch the movie, I do some other stuff. So kind of multitasking, and then through that, I kind of catch those little bits of dialogue in between through my ear. And then, yeah, these new realizations just come up. So that's kind of a little bit about rewatching some movies. Going back into the romantic comedy, is there's a lot of great ways to reflect in a romantic comedy movie, because I feel like going back to that, you know, easygoing comedic aspect of a movie, after you give that, you know, big laugh and, you know, you joke about it with your friends, or, you know, you kind of just, you know, state the obvious of, oh yeah, you know, that character shouldn't have done that, or, you know, all those cliche comedic scenes that I'd say a lot of rom-coms have, and I think that's the whole point of it, and I think that is what you should enjoy. But even through those, you end up reflecting back on how many cliche, you know, things that you do in your life, and you kind of reflect on your own self and how you you know, converse with your friends or your loved ones, or, you know, the things that you do or say. And I think I honestly think that cliches aren't made. I think they're kind of, they're all in our lives in one way or another. And I feel like when we actually sit down and watch it, that's when we actually pick up on, oh yeah, that's a cliche. But then when we actually live, you know, our lives without really paying much, you know, much attention, I feel like we have a lot of ways in incorporating these cliches that we just don't quite catch as strongly when we were to read about it or watch it. And so these cliches that we say that we see, I think it's all in a way intertwined with, you know, the way that we live in our lives as well. And so it's almost like the other way around, where it's, you know, cliches are not made, they're kind of just conveyed through the movies, and they're kind of originated from us humans, and, you know, how we interact, which kind of makes sense, I'd say, too. But going into the cliche topic is that one of my goals was to write my own cliche. And I think so far it has not been too successful. Writing your own cliche, writing a cliche, is a very tough task, because a lot of the cliches that many of you guys probably know are probably something that we all know that it's a cliche. So it's almost like you need to create a new unique plot line or a unique blend of genres. And then kind of through that uniqueness, you kind of have to make it into a cliche by, you know, incorporating, you know, different cliches and blending all these elements into it. So there's a lot of blending that goes on when I'm trying to make, you know, my stories and, you know, write them, because I think that kind of makes it, it gives it a more variety of interactions and just a bit more interesting plot lines and different reactions. Because I feel like if you follow the same plot with the same, you know, genres, with, you know, that progressing through, you know hate and then love and then hate, you know, all that sort of those stage-like approaches, there's always a very limited approach you can take to, you know, how you end your story, or how you even begin it, or what the climax is, or where the climax is. And so in that way, it does kind of make it plateau a little bit. The next thing that I want to mention is the way that movies in particular progress throughout when you watch it. Is I personally don't enjoy a movie that goes along in a very linear pattern. Obviously, when I, you know, everyone has their own idea of what it means for a movie to follow a linear pattern. But for me, it's more so like, okay, so there's an issue in the beginning, then the issue climaxes at the middle, and then it's resolved. And so that kind of dynamic, but within the context of romance and comedy. And so, you know, there's a little bit of comedy there, you know, the hate-love relationship, and then you end up with them loving each other again. But I feel like using the romantic comedy genre, it doesn't always need to be blended like so. You know, it could be starting with love, then it climaxes to, you know, the break of love, and, you know, possibly it doesn't really repair at the end. But that's the whole beauty of it, is that if it doesn't repair at the end, there's always something to come out from that. You know, whether it's a healthy friendship that bonds, that blossoms from that movie, or whether it's they meet some other people that where they can, you know, create that spark once more. And so in that sense, I think there are a lot of avenues that rom-coms can take you within the storytelling aspect of it. And so in that way, it's very, very interesting and fascinating to see how rom-coms use the genre to make the storyline interesting and create new bumps and obstacles. And through that, we can kind of see more and more perspectives and ways in which that love and comedy and friendships and, you know, intimacy and all those sort of topics can kind of intertwine with each other in different ways. So yeah, that's kind of what I think about romantic comedy genres, you know, how it really helps you. And I also feel like I would put romantic comedy in a very, you know, easygoing, positive, quite, you know, comedic genre, where it's, you know, there's really not much to lose in terms of, it's not like an apocalyptic movie where, you know, the world is going to be over at the end. It's more so about, you know, just regular people, you know, trying to figure their things out within each other, and then through their process they learn stuff and they lose stuff, and it's not really about the whole entire world in itself, but we're getting a more closer and intimate view and kind of able to build up on our own reflections within, you know, these two characters. So I think I like, you know, I think this intimate nature of romantic comedy movies are really a strength to this genre, because you kind of get to focus on these certain characters and, you know, the way that they deal with their relationships and their issues along their life. And obviously, you know, these romantic comedy genres, as I mentioned, you know, go along in different ways where the characters don't always have to spend time with each other together. But, you know, there are times where there's timestamps within the characters individually within their lives, which are actually very, very well portrayed within the movie When Harry Met Sally, which is actually my favorite romantic comedy movie. And so for those of you who are curious of what my favorite rom-com is, it is When Harry Met Sally. And for those of you who have not heard about it or have not watched it, I would encourage you. I think it's considered a classic romantic comedy movie, quite unique for the fact that the protagonists meet each other every 5 years, and, you know, they kind of adapt to the changes that they've made throughout those years. And it kind of makes it more interesting because we see them in different phases of their life. And through that, their interactions change, their values change, and then they kind of intertwine, and they're making that whole relationship trying to work. So it's not like a summer fling or like a 2-year, you know, relationship. Not that 2 years is short, but, you know, it happens, I think, maybe like from college to all the way up to their 40 or something. So like in the span of 15 to 20 years is the span that When Harry Met Sally takes place in. And so it's very interesting to see. So that's kind of my discussion on romance and comedy. The songs that I have for you guys that I've prepared is actually from the band The Prairie Joggers that I've played up last Tuesday. I hope you guys enjoyed those songs. It was actually the album, I believe it was called The Way of It, Weight of It. So if you guys want to check that out, they are on Spotify. They have YouTube videos as well, so please go check them out. For today's episode, I am actually going to be putting up the album Take It or Leave It. I like this phrase. I mean, I don't know if you guys are able to use this phrase in a daily basis. Take it or leave it is more of, I feel like, has a negative connotation to it, where it's like you either take this or leave it. But it also demonstrates that aspect of self, of personal agency, and like that confidence that someone can have, like, you know, take it or leave it, you know, there's really nothing for me to lose or nothing for me to gain. So it's, you know, this is all I have. So I guess it does give a strong tone to it. So this is the album Take It or Leave It. The first song is Holding Me Down. So I hope you guys enjoy this song. I will see you all in a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. That was Holding Me Down by the Prairie Joggers. The next song I have for you guys is called Take It or Leave It, the same title as the album itself. I hope you guys enjoy this. Let's see what this sounds like to you guys.
Well, you're not feeling too blue. It's true, if you could go, you would. Back to any one of those damn days. Remember the way she said. Take it or leave it. Gotta see it to believe it. Look, don't touch. Takes a little.
That was Take It or Leave It by the Prairie Avenues. The last song I have for you guys is called Liana. I hope you guys enjoy this song. This will be the last one for this episode. But don't you worry, because I have a wonderful, interesting fun fact segment lined up for you all. So let's get through this song. I hope you guys enjoy it. And I will see you all very soon. So here we go.
Back row.
That was Liana by the Prairie Joggers. I hope you guys enjoyed those three songs. Here's the first fun fact for today. Scotland chose the unicorn to be its national animal. That is interesting. I'm reading this from collegetransitions.com. And apparently Scotland chose the unicorn to be its national animal. I didn't know that the unicorn was even an animal. I thought it was a supernatural, magical creature. But I guess even in the species of supernatural / magical creatures, they can be within, you know, the animal species. The next one is, giraffes are more prone to be struck by lightning than humans. I believe that lightning strikes to very high things. Here's the statistics. Each year there are about 0.003 lightning deaths per 1,000 giraffes, which means that it's 30 times the rate at which lightning strikes humans. That's interesting. I mean, I would be terrified to leave the world from a lightning strike. I don't even know what that would feel like. I feel like that wouldn't even be painful for how fast it would strike you. I don't know if lightning strikes are as fast as light, or if not, a little less faster. But that would be a terrifying way to go. The next one is, tigers have striped skin, not just fur. That's pretty interesting. You know, I feel like this fun fact goes back to the polar bear thing where their fur is white, but then I think their skin is black. And so this is pretty interesting. I think there's another fun fact about this about zebras as well. And I think this is kind of a terrifying fun fact though, because I wonder who was the person to find this out. Because how would you even get close to a tiger? I mean, I've seen videos of people raising tigers from they were cubs, and so they're kind of like best friends with them. So they treat them like, you know, regular pets. But the next one is, the bumblebee bat is the world's smallest mammal. You know, when I see these animals with compound words, and those words both resemble or represent a different animal, it always confuses me, because when I just heard the bumblebee, I just imagined the bumblebee, which is the bee. And then I see bat, so it's like, okay, so is it a bat that looks like a bumblebee? I don't know. Maybe it does. Apparently, the bumblebee bat weighs a 0.05 to 0.07 ounces. That is extremely light. That's interesting. Okay, the next one is, sloths can hold their breath longer than dolphins. That is interesting. Going off of this topic, I have always thought about holding, you know, having the superpower to breathe underwater. But I think I might have to change it, because I think I can hold my breath for at least a minute, you know, underwater. But the issue with me is that I can't go as deep as I want to, because the water pressure just does not do very well with my ears and my head and my nose. It hurts quite a bit. And so maybe I would change my superpower to be able to withstand a lot of the water pressure that is created when you go deeper and deeper into water. If I were to add some superpower after that, is to not be able to feel coldness, because the deeper you go, the colder it gets. I mean, I swear it does. It's very cold underwater. Like if you go deep, you know, I remember a couple summers ago when I tried to swim under a lake or underwater in a lake, you know, the deeper I went, I could just feel the chills coming down, you know, my legs and my thighs and my body. It was quite cold. So, you know, I feel like it wouldn't be nice to
to, you know, freeze on your way down, because you want to go down to explore. And I think the whole idea of doing that, it's great. Oh, we're getting a call in. So I'm going to call this. Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome.
I'm loving the fun facts.
Amazing. Do you have any responses? You're actually my first caller in. Thank you so much for calling me.
Oh, thank you for answering.
Where
you
are you?
Show other people at CITR how to do that.
Yeah.
I'm in the city of Vancouver.
Awesome. That's amazing. Have you been tuning into my shows lately?
CITR. I'm not exactly sure who I'm listening to all the time, but
That's totally all good. But thank you so much for calling me. Actually, I want to ask, I have another fun fact, and maybe we can kind of briefly discuss our own reactions to it.
Sure.
But the next fun fact that I have actually... Oh, sorry. What is your name?
My name's Alan.
Alan, nice to meet you, Alan. I'm Jeff. This show is called Lean In with Jeff. I usually do rom-com reviews. I also share my own literature works, and I also conduct interviews as well. I have been doing my show for about 2.5 years, constantly asking my audience members to call in, and thank you for calling in, because this is truly an exciting experience.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And then, you know, today's episode, I just did a quick romantic comedy genre overview, you know, what I thought about it, and then we're kind of ending it off with some fun facts. So the next fun fact
I heard the end of the review. What was the movie or show called? What was it?
When Harry Met Sally. Reviewed?
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent one.
Yeah, I love that movie. It's my favorite. Have you watched it?
Oh, multiple times, yeah, sure.
Oh, yes, me too. All right, so moving on to the fun fact. So the next one is, snails have teeth. Apparently, they can have anywhere between 1,000 to 12,000 teeth. That is insane. Hmm. What do you think about that?
I would not have guessed that, but they, you know, they do eat leaves and stuff, so...
That is true.
They're not just absorbing it, I guess. There's got to be some sort of...
I always wonder with... Yes. I always wonder with snails and what they feel about... with dragging their home all the time. Like, would that be the equivalent to us holding a massive backpack all the time? You know, I always wonder about that.
I'm not sure they think about it.
Maybe not. I mean, if they're just born like that,
they probably just roll with it. No pun intended. Like, you know, just...
Yeah, for sure.
The way it is, they know nothing else, so be it.
Yes. The next one is actually a fun fact about dogs. So dogs apparently tilt their heads to pinpoint the words you're saying. So they do this to spot familiar words.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Interesting.
Want to go for a walk? Have you ever asked a dog if it wants to go for a walk? It definitely, there's a head tilt involved in that.
Oh, yeah, they, yeah. They
hear that word.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
so I was going to add to your fun facts, going back to giraffes and whatnot. Same number of bones in their neck as a human.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
So just on their neck. So giraffes' neck alone has the same number of bones as humans.
As a human neck.
Oh, as a human. Is that even possible?
They're just bigger bones. They're just longer bones, I guess.
Wow, that is an interesting fact. Thank you for saying that. That is really interesting, because a human's neck is at least like 8 times shorter than a giraffe's. But the fact that they have
at
the same
least.
Number. Yeah, at least, yeah.
The other one was the polar bear with the black skin. Their hair is hollow and acts like a fiber optic and directs the sunlight directly to the skin. And that's where the black skin comes in to absorb maximum amount of heat radiation from the sun, so they stay as warm as possible. I mean, it's not very warm, but for what it's worth, it gets there in the most efficient manner.
Oh, it seems like they're preserving... That's their way of preserving heat in the cold weather?
Getting as much as they can when they can. I mean, it's dark half the year, so... when it's sunny and want to warm up, the hollow hair It's just a tube. It's like I say, it's like a fiber optic cable where it just transmits it directly to the surface.
That's very interesting. That reminds me of cactuses, where they kind of absorb as much water as they can when it rains and then use that to hydrate themselves during, you know, the regular hot weather in the desert. So I guess that kind of has... How do you know so many fun facts?
That's pretty much all I know.
Okay. That's amazing. Awesome.
You know, your head fills up with a bunch of useless stuff through a lifetime, and that's some of the stuff that's in my head.
That's totally fair. That is very interesting, though. The giraffe.
That's when you like, you know, you find, when something strikes you as interesting, it tends to stick. You know, dull stuff, you know, falls out the other ear, and but if you have an interest in it, then you tend to hang on to it.
That is true. That is true. The last fun fact I have is again about a dog. Is that dogs have different nose prints. So just like how we have different fingerprints, they have nose prints. That's very interesting.
Who found that one out?
Yeah, I really wonder who found this one out. I mean, to be really honest, I'm not very intrigued with dogs' noses just for the fact that they're always so wet. But I think they have a reason for why.
Figured it out. Someone they bumped into saw a different... Same breed, different print.
Yeah.
And, you know, our fingerprints are not unique. They can be duplicated. It's been proven.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
It is unique. You know, the veins on the back of your hand, if you can flex your hand and look at the veins on the back of your hand, that pattern is unique between every human.
Wow.
Somehow or other, I like, you know, how does that work? I thought we were, you know, essentially very near clones of each other. Even twins, it's different. The vein pattern on the back of your hand.
That is very interesting.
Probably elsewhere for that matter, but you can just see it there.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that has any issue with fingerprint being used as evidence in, you know, criminal cases, if they can be duplicated.
An example of how they found out. There was someone who was suspected of doing something and, you know, brought up on charges because of fingerprints, but was thousands of miles away and had like a ironclad alibi that they were there and absolutely nothing to do with the crime involved. So,
yeah.
But the
sure.
fingers were in a database. The fingerprints were in a database for other reasons. You know, if you get a security or a background check, you have to give up your fingerprints and they go into that base. And
yeah, that's true. I mean, the reliability of certain methods that are used for these are changing. But yeah, I mean,
lie detectors don't work.
You know what? I've always been curious about that. How I feel like I'm assuming that lie detectors are used to calculate the rate of the heartbeat. Is that how?
Yeah.
So
heartbeat,
I don't.
Is perspiration level on the skin and a few other things.
Yeah. I don't.
Blinking patterns. There is a better test that it monitors brain waves, because apparently when you hear information that you know, your brain reacts differently to new information. And so if you're told something that you have no idea about, like, and say, you know, you can say, I don't know about that. If you're lying, your brain will show differently than if you're not.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a very interesting way. I wonder if there's another technology that's going to come up. But yeah, thank you so much. Alan, was it?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on air with me.
Keep
it was
the good work.
Thank you so much for your support, and please call again, you know?
Okay. Yeah, like I say, keep those reviews flowing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, that was very exciting. Thank you so much for everybody who's listening. I know that you are out there. It really was an amazing experience right now to engage with one of my audience members, who's actually a fellow... Vancouverite like me. So Thank you again, everyone, for listening to my episodes. I really enjoy doing them, and I'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon. This was Lean In with Jeff. My name is Jeff. Have a lovely day, guys. Bye-bye.
Represent all the vulnerable ones, but I can see right through your veil and your sharp snake tongue. Just give it and give it and give it, give it and give it and give it, give it and give it and give it up. Just give it and give it and give it, give it and give it and give it, give it and give it and give it up. You're just a sheep in wolf's clothes. Do you believe all the lies that you feed? You're sheep in wolf's clothes. You cover up the truth by fudging the numbers to keep your reputation from slipping under. You sneak in, you lie, you watch people die. Your lust for power's making me fucking sour. Just get 'em and get 'em and get 'em, get 'em, get 'em and get 'em and get 'em, get 'em and get 'em out of here.
Take it back now. If you'd known, I think I'm falling through the cracks now. Should've just stayed home. Three drinks in, head spin, no self-control. Now Hannah's holding up my head, so I don't let it go. My brother wants
to see
TR
101.9
FM broadcasting
live from
Muskogee
territory in Vancouver,
British Columbia,
Canada.
I'm trying.